It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and thank you very much for joining me. I'm going to cover a bit of waterfront this morning, or lands, or mountains, whichever you want to call it, because I'm going to run around the country on the Great Outdoors. Start off with the selection, which I talked last Sunday about who the Trump administration would pick for the Secretary of Interior, to be followed by the Director of the Fish and Wildlife Service, which will be followed by the Director of the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, etc. And I offered last week that I thought his pick would be extremely different than what has been the traditional pick. I said it would also be quite different than Ryan Zinke, who we picked in 2016. He came into Washington, literally, he rode on a horse to the Department of Interior on his first day in the office. And probably when he left, he should have been riding out on a mule, because he was basically tossed out of the Department of Interior when he left. And there was a great deal of controversy. That's behind us. This time, the Trump administration has absolutely shocked the world. But I think it's a fabulous selection. And that was with Doug Burgum, who is the current governor of the state of North Dakota. Governor Burgum is a person who, his background would say he is overqualified to be Secretary of the Interior. He is a person whose family homesteaded in North Dakota in, I believe, about 1906. He's a third generation North Dakotan. And after he graduated from Stanford, so the guy is smart, he mortgaged his family farm to start a small business, Great Plains Software, in 1984. But he's a guy who grew up hunting and fishing, a lover of the land, very knowledgeable about agriculture. His family still is very much in the farming business. I know many people that have actually hunted with him. They like him immensely. And then he grew Great Plains Software from a small business with a $250,000 investment to one that was purchased by Microsoft in 2001 for $1.1 billion. He has the chops to fix the Department of Interior. And I really think that's what the Trump administration has in mind in bringing him in to run the Department of Interior. He also is from a state that is a high energy state, has a lot of tribal lands, has many of the things that the Department of Interior needs to deal with. But when you contrast him to the current Secretary of Interior, it's a night and day difference. And this is no belittling of the current Secretary of Interior. I'm sure she is a fine lady, and I don't mean any disrespect in any way, but the qualifications were not there for her to be Secretary of the Interior. Doug Burgum represents qualifications that we perhaps have never seen in a Secretary of the Interior, going back to Cecil Andrus, which goes back a long time. So you have an individual, by the way, the Department of Interior oversees the public lands of the United States. That's where much of the energy supply of the United States exists. Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, under the direction of the Department of Interior. Most of the public lands in the West, well, all of them actually under the direction of the Department of Interior. When it comes to offshore oil and gas drilling, the Department of Interior. So the current Trump administration incoming turns to an individual who knows a lot about energy policy. And that is positively frightening to many environmental groups. I would offer it should be welcome, because one of the elements that we've been struggling with for so long at the Department of Interior through lack of expertise is how we manage our public lands for multiple use. And when I say multiple use, I'm talking about sustainability in the words and the actions of Theodore Roosevelt and others, who believe that our natural resources are to be used and sustained. And we have come through really a generation. Lock the gate, throw away the key, don't go anywhere near this place. Wilderness areas, which are wonderful, but now we look at what's the cost of some of these wilderness areas. Huge, catastrophic wildfires, no management of any kind, as opposed to an era where we manage our public lands. And one of the things that I think the incoming governor of North Dakota, who will be soon Secretary Burgum, is going to do is to change the mindset of the Department of Interior. And if you love to hunt and fish, this is an individual who grew up on the prairies. He knows all about the flights of migratory waterfowl. He knows all about fishing. He certainly knows about big game. He is steeped in the traditions that we have been lacking all too often at the Department of Interior. Plus, he's an individual who has a track record for extraordinary business success. So we haven't appointed a political flunky. We haven't appointed a payoff to a president of the United States. We haven't done something to sort of thank a special interest group. We actually now have a Secretary of Interior who I'm sure will be, well, there'll be some people in the Senate who want to talk about how he's going to destroy the environment and how terrible he's going to be for America. They're going to be badly voted down. And I, for the first time in really many, many years in talking to you, feel we have reason to be very optimistic about the cutting of waste in the Department of Interior. And I could do 100 radio shows from my personal experience on the amount of money that is wasted at the Department of Interior. And the Department of Interior, from a budgetary point of view, is small compared to the Department of Defense or the Department of Education. I think we're going to have someone who comes in and really streamlines it, gets rid of government waste to the extent they can. We're going to have an individual who is totally open to the conservation community, to Ducks Unlimited, to the Wild Turkey Federation, to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and all of these groups that have been so supportive of management on the land. I think he will be a Secretary of Interior who has an open door to those. I also think he'll be a Secretary of Interior who tells the litigious elements that have been running wild over the last few years that they're not welcome. If you're not involved in improving the habitat on the land, and if you're not involved in actively trying to manage the land, then you're working against the interests of what I think this Secretary of the Interior is going to want to see. And I think some of the most litigious groups that are out there, I won't name them, but I don't need to run them down. But those litigious groups are not going to find a very sympathetic ear in Washington, at least in the near future. And that'll be quite a change from the last few years when they have had better access to the Department of Interior than traditional groups that have longstanding traditions of working to improve the land. So I think you can hear the optimism in my voice. I think it's real. I think we really, truly have a chance to see the Department of Interior make a quantum leap forward. And yes, you're going to hear an awful lot about, well, the Keystone Pipeline is going to come back. Keystone Pipeline, in my view, should have been built. And I'll tell you why. Because when we build pipelines like that, under today's laws, there is a tremendous amount of money that has to be spent for habitat improvement. So you have a situation where a pipeline is going to go through, and yes, it is going to destroy and damage some areas along the way. But the ability to then go and take areas that were low quality and make them high quality through the dollars that are available from habitat management as a result of these pipelines and the fees on them far outweigh, I think, the destruction that pipelines take. And when you look at the Keystone Pipeline, which is critically important to America's energy policy, it really does not go through an area that you could say is of extreme environmental importance in the United States. It has some areas that are important. We'll be able to mitigate those. But it's a new day, I think, for conservation with a new Secretary of Interior who will be a great ally and advocate for so many of the things here on the Great Outdoors Show and so many of us in conservation believe in. I'll be back in just a moment. And when I do, I'm going to talk about what is increasingly an issue, not only north of the border, but south of the border. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, the message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And just before I leave, talking about soon-to-be Secretary of Interior Burgum, the current governor of North Dakota, if you do a little research on him, you will find that he has been one of the leading advocates for carbon neutrality. And he had pledged that North Dakota would be carbon neutral by 2030. He is very much a believer in the carbon capture and storage world, and he's a believer in using coming technology. So you don't have an individual here. While he wants to expand greatly fossil fuel production, because he thinks it's necessary for the United States, he also, on the other side, knows that we have to do a much better job of sequestering carbon. Moving on from that, now, I do want to talk about what's taking place with, in general, outfitters. And when I say outfitters, I mean people who take us hunting and fishing and who make our life in the outdoors possible in many events, because we may not have the equipment, we may not have the knowledge, we fly to an area we've never fished before, and we don't even know where to begin, so we hire a guide who's the same as an outfitter. Here's a couple of numbers to contemplate when we talk about guides and outfitters. In the Bahamas, in 1990, there were 5 lodges where you could stay to bonefish in the Bahamas. Today, 30 years later, there's 75 lodges where you can stay to fish for bonefish in the Bahamas. It's no wonder bonefishing in the Bahamas has declined enormously. In many mountain communities in the American West, the number of guides, fishing guides in the summer, is 8 to 10 times what it was just in the year 2000. So in talking to outfitters and in talking to fly fishing shops and regular fishing shops across the American West, I began to realize all of them are telling me the same thing, that they are seeing more and more interest in people hiring guides because more and more people fishing don't have the experience of a generation ago. And when you want to talk about costs, in 1990, to hire a guide in the town of Sun Valley, it was $95 at most places, a fishing guide for the day. Today, it's $600 or more, and that's true across almost everywhere you go. You even want to go to Bull Shoals, Arkansas, and fish for bass. You have seen a 5 or 6-fold increase in the cost of what it is to have a guide, which then brings me to what's going on, of course, very controversially in Canada, which is the move to limit the number of Americans that can hunt waterfowl in Canada. And it's easy to understand. The number of guides in Manitoba and Saskatchewan exploded over the last 15 years. The use of the internet and social media has made it easy for people to find guides. And Americans increasingly that go to Canada don't have the time to take a week or a 2-week vacation and drive up there and bring their dogs, if they have them at all. Much easier to get on an airplane, get it off it in Saskatoon or get off it in Edmonton or Winnipeg and drive a couple hours and go to a lodge and be catered to and shoot for 3 or 4 days and have a great time and go home That's your hunting season. That's the huge change. And that's why there's so much conflict now, because guides require a lot more land on which to take their clientele than just I would if I was traveling around Saskatchewan or Manitoba, which is those of you who have listened to the show for a long time know I've done for a long time. And so that's why the conflict is existing. An ever-increasing demand for a resource that is not increasing, but in fact is declining. So what we have is a lot more people placing demands on a resource that is either diminishing or is certainly not growing, and placing demands on them in a way that is so different. Going to an outfitter, he's going to have, or she's going to have, or they're going to have maybe 8, 10, room, 12 people in their lodge if you're fishing. Well, that replaces what was 2 people staying in a motel. So there's much more conflict on the land. And if you go to Patagonia, way down in southern Argentina, a great example is a family leased the west bank of a very famous river for years. They were charging their clientele $10,000 a week to come and fish. Well, the neighbor across the road was leasing his fishing rights to this outfitter, this family that owned the land on the west side of the river. And after a couple of years and learning what was happening, he told the landowner, you're not leasing my land anymore, the leasee. You're not leasing my land anymore. I'm building my own lodge. So now you have 2 lodges where 15 years ago you had none. And now you have 24 people a week for 5 months fishing in a place where 24 years ago you might have had 1 or 2 people, but no lodges. This is playing out across the world. And going back to the Bahamas for a minute, 75 bone fishing and tarpon fishing lodges in the Bahamas. The pressure on these fish, even though these morales and the flats are just enormous, the pressure where the fish can be accessed is tremendous. So we're going to be dealing with a potential reduction in Americans being able to go to Saskatchewan and how they operate. Times are changing really quickly. And we, as sportsmen and women, don't have the time we had. Many people don't have the knowledge they had. And the result is that we are going to place real demand on people who do and who can handle the volume. But the last thought I'll have as we leave this, think about this for a moment. It's been often said by many people now, today's market hunters are the professional outfitters operating on the prairies of the United States and Canada. They got many guides running all over the countryside, putting you in front of birds. You don't have the skill set. Your skill set is to stand up and shoot, and you may love it, but you didn't do the scouting. You didn't bring the equipment. You didn't do all the things that now these guides are doing. So things are changing pretty quickly, and I think it's a really important issue for all of conservation, and it's very much one that the new Secretary of Interior, Burgum, is going to have to deal with, as will the Director of the Fish and Wildlife and interacting with Canada. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.